go with these guys, gals. Sorry, I'm the only guy. It was weird a few times. I was the only guy in that. Yeah, we drove to New York and we figured out that they needed to put me in the back. But it was a really, really good time together. And what I'm going to ask them to do is just share a little bit to report to you, because you as a church not only prayed for them, you supported them financially. Many of you checked in on them frequently, even while they were there. So we just want to thank you together as a team for what you did, because it really meant a lot to be sent by a church that loves the nations, but specifically loves these people, right? And I think your investment in them has been something that we just treasure. So just to give you a layout of what we're going to do. So we were in Thailand, in Bangkok, Thailand, for 2 weeks. Now, the reason why we couldn't share it openly at first was because there were a lot of people who were coming to that. It is a joining together of people from different nations, and some of them were coming from Southeast Asian nations. So we had a team of, what, about 13 of us from the U.S. altogether? 13, 14 of us from the U.S. So we were from different churches in the U.S., six of us from our church, right? And by the way, Gateway Project, which is the mission organization that we support, one of our mission partners, they really, really love Word of Grace. Because Word of Grace has been a church that has laid hold of what God is doing through the Gateway Project with both hands. Like, we're not just talking about it, or we'll pray for you, or we'll send you some money. We're a church that has actually put people behind it. And we are actually doing the things that they are seeing, but we are seeing too, right? So that's something that I just want you to know. So because this team was being gathered from different nations, some of these nations are in the midst of very, very hard situations with civil war or even military occupation. There's ethnic cleansing going on in some of these places. So the people who are coming out of there, who are believers, or some of them have started house churches, they're coming to be trained on how they can reach their nations and the people groups in their country. So when these people come, if it's blasted on social media that, hey, we're all getting together over here and this is where we're going to be, it starts to create problems for them. So that's why now in post, we're telling you where exactly we were, okay? Because now it's happened. We are also, just so everyone's aware, we're not recording this part for the live stream, just so that, because there might be things that these guys want to share that we would just like you to know, just to keep things, sensitive details, private. So for those of you who are younger kids in the room, just be aware, if there are things you hear, you're like, I'm not so sure about this, what did I just hear? Talk through these things with your parents, okay? And ask questions if there is something that you don't understand, all right? So these were nations. So can I go to the next slide? It was a team of us, altogether 35 of us were there. We had a Bangkok team that was a hub that has been created through Gateway Project that has been there now for 4 years. And the Lord has been giving them connections with different people groups. But we had seven countries represented at Forge Mission School this year. So last year we had a slightly different, we had more Cambodians there last year. This year we did not have Cambodian people there. We had a lot of people from Myanmar. Okay? So you'll be hearing a lot about them. So Myanmar is what used to be called Burma. Okay? So for those of you who are not aware. So we had Thailand, USA, Vietnam, Myanmar, Nepal, Philippines, and Taiwan. These were all these different kinds of people, different languages in the same room. So when we got together, worshiping together, learning together, a lot of it is learning different cultures together. And the way people meet with the Lord, the way different people pray. You know, so it was good. Like, even, I mean, you will hear from them. There were times where language was a barrier, but our hearts weren't. And you were able to understand their heart language even while they were praying or while they were worshiping and singing to the Lord. So this is us in the midst of Bangkok. There's this huge edifice to a false god, okay? And you would see these things all over Bangkok. But God loves the people of this country and all the nations that are gathered there. You know how we say in America that New York, or like, you know, how everyone's here right now for the World Cup. There are places in the world that attract all the nations. Bangkok is one of those places in Asia. You will find every nation on earth, especially Americans, in the country. Okay? So there are all these different people groups there. And one of the things, can I go to the next slide? So what we started doing is, at Forge Mission School, the thing is to empower the people who are coming on the team to understand who they are in Christ, of establishing them in the work of what Jesus did on the cross, what their identity is in Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit. These were things that we needed to impart to people, teach systematically through. So there were things that there were times of morning worship and devotion, which led into a teaching time where they would get like instruction. And then after the instruction, the afternoons, can I go to the next one? From worship times, we would go on to, we'd split into ministry teams. Okay, so each, because with this year we were a little bit more, we had a lot more people, we divided the whole group into several teams this year. So it was packed days. Our days would start at what, 7:30 in the morning-ish, and end sometimes, what, at 11 at night? Yeah. So it was long, long days, but it was really, really fruitful days. Can I have the next slide up? So the kind of ministry teams we had was the Vietnamese refugee ministry, a Myanmar refugee ministry, a university and mall ministry, a slum ministry, and a red light district ministry. So these were all like the different things that were happening usually in the afternoons after we taught. We understood, like, let's say, for instance, when you hear about the red light ministry, like, we cannot go into, this is a place known for brothels and this kind of trade. So we were walking through, praying over these people, loving these people, but you cannot participate in any of the, like, sitting down with people and talking to them for long periods of time, because this is a market. And so we were going through learning what it is to carry God's heart, carry God's presence into these places, praying that strongholds are torn down. So understanding these things were done in the morning and then practiced in the afternoons. The last thing I want to say before I hand it off to these guys is specifically God was connecting us with people groups and churches being planted. That is one of the things that I believe is in the DNA of Word of Grace, that God is taking to other places for us to encourage the body of Christ. Not just go preaching the gospel, as much as that is great, to see churches planted and believers encouraged. That was one of our things. So there is a Vietnamese refugee group which is called the Hmong people, which is a people group that has had to flee Vietnam. They cannot live in their home country, so they are now set up in Thailand, and this is a ministry to these people, and it's an amazing thing to see this small church budding and then following after the Lord together. So we got to, I was part of a team that was dealing with that. There was another refugee ministry, which was a group out of Myanmar, which is the Dawe people group. I don't know how many of you heard when Alex Seidler was here and he shared about how God connected them with one person who gave their life to the Lord. It's that church. So there's a huge church group that they found that has come out of this refugee community. Okay. Then we had a university. We had a lot of young people on this team this year who were involved in college ministry, like people like Shay is already involved in college ministry and young kids ministry and teens ministry. So there were lots of people like that who were on this team. So we had several people go on to the university, local university campus, and prayer walk and talk to people. They also did that at the mall. There was a slum ministry, which is, again, more of a mercy ministry of giving things, praying over people, doing some things with the kids. It was more a practical ministry. And they prayer walked as well. So one of the DNA parts of Forge and Gateway Ministry is to prayer walk everywhere we go. Say so whether if there are open doors, we take them. If there isn't an open door and people are like avoiding you, we will still pray. We will go take the land through prayer. So we're going to worship the Lord and go and pray. And then the last one was the red light ministry. That we reserved for very few people just because of the sensitive nature of that kind of ministry. But it was very, very fruitful in just seeing God opening our eyes to the need, but then also seeing that Jesus was lifted high and strongholds were torn down in the midst of that. So I'm going to let them share one after the other just what the Lord has laid on their heart, and then I'll wrap up from there.
Can I sit? Okay. Hi, church. My name is Tatiana, if you don't know me. It was really overwhelming to come up with like what to share because so much was packed into 10 days, which doesn't even sound like a very long, it's not a long time, but there was just, and like Judah said, I mean, our days were long, but they were just packed so full. But I wanted to start off by sharing the last day of our trip. We had a devotion. And basically what was shared was we, right here, let's say we're in blue, right? Yes, that's our country. And then we went to Bangkok, Thailand, and let's call that yellow, right? So we had us, blue, we know what blue is, and then we go to Bangkok where it's yellow, and it's just totally different. And what did blue and yellow make, church?
Green.
Good job, Alan. And so we were just encouraged of, like, coming back here to the States, we're now green. Like, the Lord has done something in us and changed us, and we're not just coming back to be blue. We're also not taking yellow and just being yellow. Now we're green. And so I was really encouraged by that because I didn't know how to grapple with, you know, we went into the nations and met with so many people from different nations, and then we just come back to normal life. That was something that was very hard for me to wrap my mind around, like, how am I just going to go back and be normal and live like my life hasn't changed? And so I was very encouraged by that. So I wanted to share Luke 10:2, if you could go to the next slide. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And we had a teaching session on this about, like, missional prayer. And this was something that I've read before, but I never really, like, I guess I just glossed over it and never noticed the fact that Jesus himself is instructing us that we are to plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers because the fields are ready. And it was very interesting just learning about the nations and the unreached people groups going out into the nations and the most, like, remote places of earth or into people groups where there's not even a written language to possibly translate the Bible into. And so we were instructed that we're to pray. I wanted to share a story about the night market, actually. So we went to this night market. It was a very remarkable night. And this is not really ministry time, and I think that was something going in. I was like, okay, like, we have our worship time, we have our outreach time, we have our sessions, and so I kind of was, like, putting the Lord in a box of, like, the Lord's going to instruct me and teach me and move during this time, and not thinking, like, the Lord is present all the time, and he's always going to be moving, and that included when we went into this night market. And I was with a buddy, James, and a night market, this is really popular in Thailand. It's just all these, like, vendors, and they're selling, a lot of them are, like, food. Most of it was food at that one. Tons of food, very different, interesting foods. And then there will be, like, other little, like, trinkets and clothes that they're selling. And this particular one we went to is packed. They're, like, it's just so many people, and you're walking through these little aisles. And so we went in this big group, and we were going to get dinner there. So everyone's kind of at different vendors getting dinner, and then we were to congregate and eat together. And I was with my buddy James and waiting for his food so I could show him where the group was sitting. And I just see behind him this man on the ground, like 20 feet away maybe, and he's seizing violently. And I was like, James, also I should pause and say, James is from Myanmar, but he belongs to a people group that's Nepali, and he had to flee the country. So now he is living in Bangkok, Thailand, because he had to flee his country. He could no longer stay there. And I'll share a little bit more about that. But I say to James, look, that guy's on the ground seizing. We need to go over there. And we just run over, and lay hands on this man, and I had never seen anybody seizing like this. And we just commanded any evil spirits in this man to leave him in Jesus' name, and this man literally threw up and then woke up. He was a little groggy, and they did call an ambulance. And it was hard for me, like, being a nurse, I'm like, okay, like, what can I do to help? And it was like, nothing. Like, I'm not in a controlled environment. I'm in a foreign country. I can't even talk to these Thai people, like, ask questions, like, let's work together as a team. Literally all we could do was lay our hands on this man and just pray the blood of Christ over him. And so that reminded me a lot about in 1 Samuel when we see the Philistines take the Ark of the Covenant and they put it in with their god Dagon. And the next day they see that their god is on the ground, this idol. And so they put him back up. And then the very next day they go in and his hands and his head are cut off. And it's because high things, like we just sang about all thrones and dominions, all powers, all principalities, these high things, they must fall in the presence of the Lord. We just sang it. There is no name higher than the name of Jesus Christ. And I had never experienced anything like that before of like seeing that, that all things must fall before the Lord. Because I was also encouraged because we now carry the Ark of the Covenant. So when the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, that ark that was put up next to the idol is with us. So wherever we go, we're carrying the ark with us. And how much power is in that? So after this, we're walking back to the base, and I'm just chatting with James. And I just was asking him questions because I was so curious about his background. And he shared with me that he had one parent that was Buddhist and another Hindu. And I just said to him, like, what was it like when you met Jesus Christ? And he just said, it was a freedom that I've never experienced, a freedom. And I just thought, like, how powerful is that? But later on, a different day, we were in session and learning a little bit about, a lot actually, about Myanmar. And James shared and said, like, there were no churches near him. And some of the Burmese brothers and sisters were like, no, there were churches there. There actually are churches very close to where you were. And he was in utter disbelief. He was like, no, there's not. He was insistent, like, there are no churches. There's nobody who knows the Lord near me. And he, like, just could not believe it. And I was just struck with the fact of, like, this young boy had, I mean, he's my age, but young guy had to flee the country for his life. And in Bangkok, Thailand, God met him, and that's where he heard the gospel and gave his life to Christ. And I'm like, why did it take him fleeing for his life to know Christ? And I don't think that I have an answer for that, but the Lord has a perfect plan for his life. And so with Luke 10:2, like, yes, we are to ask the Lord to send out workers into the field of the harvest, but also with James's story, I was just so encouraged that, like, we are to partner with the Lord here and now. And I think that I was so struck with, I was so unsettled by the fact that I can just come to church and go to my job and just go through the motions of life. And I don't want to live lukewarm. Like, the Lord spits that out of his mouth. I want to carry the presence of the living God with me wherever I go, whether it's the grocery store or work or wherever. And I want high things to fall down before the Lord. And these pictures that I didn't talk about. So the first picture is I was part of the slum outreach team. And so these were some of the care packages that we brought into the community and just walked and prayed. The first day we prayed a lot just for healing over people and just shared love with them. Like Judah said, it was more of like a mercy, very practical ministry. And that second picture, you already saw that temple that we went to. And I mean, we couldn't really openly pray, but we were prayer walking and just bringing the presence of God with us. And then that last picture is in one of the slums, some of these cute old ladies that we were able to just share love with and pray over for healing and just anything that they were struggling with and just share a hot meal with them. Thank you.
Yeah, like Tatiana said, it was really hard for me to even just figure out what do I share? How do I compact this? And the scripture that the Lord just kept bringing me to, which coincidentally I realized was right before the scripture Tatiana shared, Jesus is out and he's going from town to town and he's, you know, preaching the good news of the kingdom. He's healing people. And then there's a moment where the scripture says that Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion for them because they were harassed and they were helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And I think the biggest thing the Lord gave me during this time was just seeing that he like opened my eyes, like physically and spiritually opened my eyes to things that I could not see. And it was almost like he gave me his eyes to see and look on the people around me with compassion. And I just never experienced that in the way that I did there. So there was a couple different moments where I experienced that. We started our, you know, we went on the ground running. We like got off the plane, went to sleep, woke up, went right into it. Like there was no, and so we started, part of our group went on a prayer walk around Bangkok and walked around the Grand Palace and the City Pillar and all these different landmarks of Buddhism. And there was just these moments where I was seeing people and it was like I was seeing something spiritual about what they were dealing with. And the Lord was just filling me with compassion for different like older people that I saw and different children. And so that's kind of whenever he began to stir it up for me. On the very last day of our trip, we went to Arun, which was that tower that you saw, and we went into the temple, which is that middle picture there, and, you know, I walk in, and it's this, like, what would be a beautiful place? Like, there's gold, literally, there's more gold than you can even really capture in that picture. In my heart, I was like, this is not glorious, this is not beautiful, but there are people in there reverently praying, and I remember seeing a man, like, I could tell, like, devoutly Buddhist, going there for something. And in my mind, I'm just, like, thinking, like, he can give you nothing. Like, Buddha can give you absolutely nothing that you're searching for. And there was just this bubbling up in me of, like, wanting to, like, tell this man, like, Jesus can give you everything. So that was definitely a moment of just the Lord stirring up compassion. But I think for all of us, there was a day where we learned about Burma, about Myanmar, and I was really excited to learn about it because we were going to minister to some refugees from Burma. And so I didn't really know a lot. And I just sat there. I mean, it was like a 2-hour-long session. I sat there the whole time just like in disbelief, basically hearing like a Holocaust described to me, hearing like children having to fight against their own people, hearing people having to flee their homes, hearing that like they could not be free there. But that there are these amazing pastors who had this like incredible church plant in Burma that is thriving, and to hear that they're going back to this nation, and just my heart was just like, I don't know, ripped open for this nation, ripped open for the people who are like, we don't understand the suffering. I still don't even understand the suffering they're enduring, but I knew enough to know that these people, you know, they fled this country, they're trying to flee a horrible situation, and a ton of them just end up in Bangkok, in these neighboring countries, and they go from this awful situation into a equally bad situation. They end up in one of the slums in Bangkok, which is where Tatiana and I got to serve. So you can go to the next slide of some of the pictures from the slum. The slums for me, we had some difficulties there. I think personally I did, of just being very overwhelmed by what I was seeing, smelling, tasting, to a sense of the immense poverty, but also I could feel like in the spirit just the oppression of these people who, all these people are Buddhist, the majority of them. And so not only are they fleeing a country, they're poor, living on a garbage dump, but they're also pleading to a God that does not care about them. But there was moments where in the overwhelm, and I think Tatiana can attest to this, that we just had to let go of our humanity and be like, God, we need you to help us, because he was able to just fill our team with a compassion for these people. One of our sisters, Lydia, I think on the next slide, there's a picture of her praying with somebody. This woman, Lydia, on our team, she's a young girl. She's like 19 years old. She came to FSM, like not saying a word, being terrified to talk in front of people. And I watched her go from Burmese child to Burmese child and pray words that I couldn't pray, and ministering to these children in a way that it was just so encouraging, seeing her and our other team member, Teal, just pray in their native tongue to their people. And we just kind of got to be a witness to what it means to partner with these nations and even though we only had English, we could still pray. We could still pray in the Spirit. We could still bless them and partner with our team to do that. But the slums itself, there was times of just great joy, too, where we got to dance with the kids and play with the kids and just do goofy songs with the kids. And you saw their joy. You also saw a lot of their, like, heartache, a lot of these kids that didn't make eye contact, wouldn't let you pick them up, nothing. But some of these kids were just so happy to be with us, and I got to see God's heart, like, for the little children in that space. But overall, I really just began to see God's desire to be known by these people, the people that are living without hope, and I saw just his love for them in a way I haven't. So I believe that God broke my heart open so that it could be filled with his compassion for the world, and, you know, I think I'm out of sight, out of mind, so I needed to see these people for God to just, like, rend me open and fill me up with his love for them. So there is one quote, and I'm going to end with this, that the Lord just kind of kept putting on my heart towards the end of this trip as I was coming back of, like, what does it mean now to take all that we'd learned and carry it back to the U.S.? And it's a quote from St. Teresa of Avila. She says, Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on the world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes, you are his body. Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Thank you. Yeah.
I'm Shay, if you don't know who I am. So I was part of the Hmong group, and how it started was when we got there, since there's four ministry groups, two of us went right into outreach ministry, and the other two got to stay and, like, do a lot of prayer and activation. So I was part of the group that got to go right into outreach. So I was a lot, and, like, I was just going through it and really not really processing what was going on, and I think I was just, like, looking out at people who were doing, like, the prayer and activation, and I was, like, almost comparing myself to them, and I was like, God, they're, like, hearing from you, and, like, they're getting visions, and they're so excited and amped up to go out and, like, just, like, talk to your people. And I remember just being so upset and overwhelmed by it, and I was just, like, usually back here, like, I would never just, like, tell people, that I would just, like, keep it all in, but I just felt comfortable, and I was like, I told my team, and I was like, I just started crying. Like, Judah looked at me and was like, are you okay? And I just started bawling, and I was just like, I feel so overwhelmed, like, I'm comparing myself to everyone here, like, I don't know what I'm doing here. And they just all, like, surrounded me with prayer, and I feel like I'm not usually around situations where people would just, like, first pray for me. So it was, like, really powerful to have that, and then I just, like, went back to my room. And even though I was, like, super overwhelmed, I did feel peace. And I remember just, like, instead of, I, like, had wrote in my journal, like, the whole 2 days before, I was like, just show me, like, who you are, God, like, talk to me. And I was like, maybe I should stop asking that, and I should just ask him to teach me how to listen for him. So I did that, and I prayed a lot for that. And I felt so great going to bed that night, and I felt, like, really peace. And then the next morning we went and we had devotions every morning and worship. And that was the day that we were going into the red light ministry. And I just remember I was, like, really excited to go to that just because, like, Laura talked about it last year and it was, like, one of her favorite things. So I was really excited to be able to, like, be one of the people that got to go there. And I was just, like, still, like, trying to open up my heart and, like, my mind to hear from the Lord. And during, like, worship, he just, like, sent me a vision of a girl and was like, go and talk to her and, like, you have to share with her. And, like, free her from her sexual sin. Like, she doesn't have to live this anymore. And I was like, we were going there, and they had told us, like, hey, we're here just a prayer walk. Like, please don't try and minister to people just because it's a relational ministry, and we're here just to be here. Like, they're never going to see us again. Like, they don't have the people to go out and, like, then, like, fill the relationship with them. So, like, our role there was to just pray for them. And I was okay with that because one of our team members, Holly, had said that just because even if we don't see them, which I didn't end up seeing her, that it's okay because, like, God's just sharing with us a part of his burden that he sees her and that he is then going to go and save her. So while we're walking through, you can show it, get to the next slide too. So that was just the team that got to go on the left, and then that was just us walking to the different red light ministries, or like alleys. There was like three different ones we went to, I think. So as we're just walking down the street, and one of my team members, her name's Perry, she's Vietnamese, and I just remember her being like pretty scared and feeling overwhelmed because she's just walking down the streets, and she's like, I can see that these people are like fled from Vietnamese and like Vietnam, and they're here and they're on the street doing this, and it like hurt her heart so bad. And I just remember like walking and holding her hand, and as much as I felt like super heartbroken for the women that were there, I remember during that time I was just holding her hand and praying, and I was just making eye contact with men, honestly, and it was really weird. I wasn't expecting to feel this way, but I just like looked at them, and they looked at me almost like they were like convicted, like, oh, like you see me, and like I probably shouldn't be doing this, like almost like they felt guilty. So then God just like really put that burden on my heart that these men here are just as broken and just looking for something to fill themselves up. They're looking for something to call home. So that was something I learned there, and God just like really revealed that burden to me. And then one of the talks that we had, Judah gave, it was about identity, and one of the things that really stood out to me was our calling to be sons or daughters of Christ. So during that time, I was just like, okay, God wants us, he invites us to be a part of his family, and he's doing the same thing for all of those people there in the red light district. He's doing it for the men, he's doing it for the women. And like, there's no, like, once he reaches out to them, like, there's going to be no more separation. He's going to reconcile, he's going to forgive everything, and he's going to adopt us into his family, and we get to be heirs to everything he has, which is like the scripture I have next. To the next slide. That's kind of small. So it says, the spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Holy Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So the like big thing that really stuck out to me during this whole trip was that God is a loving father. And like, I know that's something that everyone always hears, but like, just growing up, like, I never really had a strong relationship with my parents. And so, like, God just really revealing, like, how much he loves us and how much he loves me. And he sent me here to do these things. It's just, like, super touching to me. So.
Yeah. Okay, so I got to go for a second year in a row. And As I was praying about what to say and what to share, the Lord just kept putting activation on my heart, the word activation. When we go there, we are activated into the things that the Lord, whatever he has for us to do there, that is part of this school ministry, the school mission school, is to activate us, whether that be activate to be a missionary out in the field or whatever. It does not have to be that. I don't personally feel he's calling me to go live in the nations at this time, or maybe ever. But he wants to activate our local body, okay? You guys sent us to this place, supported by prayer, financially, whatever. And so we get to bring back to you an activation. And the thing that the Lord just keeps putting on my heart for that is just everybody individually, each of you individually, taking a step of faith in whatever way the Lord might show you, or whatever way you might just think, I've never done that before, and I just think I probably should. And so an example of that at my time in Forge, we all took steps, by the way. I saw each and every one of us do something that I was like, ooh, they wouldn't have done that at home. Because you're just in this space where you're just worshiping and praying, and everybody is just like on fire, and you're spending so much time with the Lord and with each other that you just feel like it's a safe place to be able to step out and do things. And so one time we were worshiping, and it was just an open worship time. And usually during those open worship times, I'm just singing praises to the Lord, telling him he's worthy, telling him there's no one like him, things like that. And the Lord just morphed it into a little melody, and it was, the words were, "Your name is higher than all other gods." And I was just singing this and, you know, whatever. And then the worship leader goes, "I just think somebody has a new song to sing, and I just want to encourage them to sing out." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, it's me." And I said that to Hannah. I was like, "It's me." And I was scared, but I also knew I had to do it. And so I sang it out, and people joined me in singing, and nothing scary happened. No one died. I didn't die, which, you know, thought maybe I would. And really, it was just, we were engaging in the spiritual realm during this time of worship. And I didn't see anything specific happen with, "Lord, your name is higher than all other gods." I didn't, you know, Buddha didn't fall, but that's part of the point of the activation, is just engaging with the spiritual things and doing and declaring what the Lord will have you do and declare. My challenge to you, or the exhortation to you, is to find something that maybe you have to step into and you're scared to do it, or it's out of your comfort zone. That was really out of my comfort zone, despite the fact that I'm a chorus teacher, but it feels vulnerable to sing, to sing things that, you know, I have doubts of, like, "Lord, are you really telling me to say that or sing that?" But actually, that's probably just the enemy trying to keep me from doing those things, because it's powerful. So my question to you is, what can you step into that maybe is scary to you? It could be praying for people out loud. Maybe that's something that is hard. It could be singing during worship. Maybe that's not something you engage in currently. It could be raising your hands up in worship or dancing in worship. It could be speaking at Bible study, maybe just using your voice there, or facilitating Bible study. Whatever it is, I think there's places that we can each step into that are out of our comfort zone, but that's where the Lord is going to grow us. Maybe you grow if you're in your comfort zone, but not as much. And so just that activation for all of us, just ask the Lord, or even if you don't have a feeling of what you should do, if there's something that you know, like, "I'm really scared to pray for people out loud," find a safe friend and ask them what they need prayer for, and just do it. And as you do that, it's going to become less scary. And I say that as, not that I want to sing something out, a new song, in front of everybody, but, you know, the Lord is guiding me in taking those steps. So that's what I received, and that's what I just believe the Lord wants us to take from that time. Oh, I do have slides. They're not really, I was like, I don't know how to put pictures to that, but these pictures are, I was with Shay and Judah working with the Vietnamese refugees, the Hmong people group, and we got a chance to work with the kids and just minister to them, praying for them. And sometimes you didn't know what you were praying for because the translator wasn't right beside you, because there was only two sometimes. So that was steps of faith that I think we all took, was praying for these people and not necessarily knowing what to pray. And then the next slide is, these were just times of prayer within our group that was just really, really precious. And it was so cool to be in places where, like, everybody, you know, if you had a need, or we just sensed that it was time to pray for people. And that's what we have started to engage in here with our body, even just today when Hannah said, "Raise your hand if you need prayer and people will come pray." I just encourage people to step up in that. Because as you can see, kind of, like, everybody was praying for somebody, or everybody was doing some sort of ministry. And so that's just my encouragement for us, is to step into those things.
Wow. That's great. Yeah, so my ministry time, like Shay, started the very next day. But I was not on the team with any of these people, so I didn't even see them for like 3 days straight. My ministry team was to a Burmese unreached people group called the Dawe people. And there was a large group of them that was about an hour and a half outside of Bangkok. So every day we were driving
an hour and a half outside the city. And so, you know, when you're going outside the city, there's tons of traffic and stuff too. So my commute every day was like 2 hours, essentially. But we partnered with a local church there, and it's this particular church, the Gateway Project people have been trying to engage with for a very long time. And the reason why this is important is because this particular pastor, who is a Dawe man, obviously he cares about his work and he cares about his church. And so he wasn't going to just let anybody come, because his work and his ministry is so precious and careful, I'd say, that it took a long time to trust people to allow us to come in and to partner with what he was doing. Because we're foreigners as well. And so you've heard a lot of people say that, like, our job was to go and pray. Well, the scripture says the prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. And there's so much that prayer can do. And this is what we've really come home with, was like, prayer is essential to our walk with the Lord. So my team, if you want to go to my next slide, there I am in this market. I don't know if it's because they knew I was a pastor's wife, but immediately they said to me, "You're going to preach on the street." And I was like, "What?" And so like Laura said, you know, and I heard this on the way there. It wasn't like I had any time to prepare. I just had that commute to just ask the Holy Spirit to, like, Lord, what do you want to give them? Because one, they're just people walking in a market, and they don't speak the language I do. They're just busy on their way. This was a time in the evening. There were so many factory workers there, so everybody, they were all in, like, shirts. You can see this woman in the front here. They all had, like, similar shirts on. They all were factory workers. And so when the factory let out, they go to the market, they get their food, and they go home. And so anyways, we just pull up to this busy market. They gave me a microphone and said, "Go for it." And if you can see there in the corner, there's a policeman there. So the people behind us were angry that we would come and kind of, you know, it must be weird that people come and set up a speaker and just start talking. And it was weird. It was very uncomfortable. But they called the Thai police, and I just sensed from the Lord immediately, like, it was going to be fine. But my interpreter there, her name was Teen, she shared with me that she'd been living in Bangkok. She was a Burmese refugee. For 2 years, she was an undocumented refugee in Thailand. So the moment the police came, she was terrified. And she's interpreting for me. So, like, maybe that Thai policeman understood. She was speaking in Burmese, but anyways, this was like such a stretch of faith and discomfort, but it was like moments where you had to practice hearing from the Lord. I had to, like, take some time and say, Lord, what is it that you could share with these people? Kind of sharing the cross in that moment didn't make sense. So what the Lord gave to me in that time was, all who call on the name of Jesus will be saved. That is something that these people can understand, because in Buddhism, there's a lot of financial debt. There's a lot of spiritual oppression. There's a lot of dealing with spiritual things, that spiritual spirits that want to come and take your children if you do not pay. This is very real things for them. Spiritual things are so real because they engage with it every single day. So when they hear something like, oh, there's someone whose name I can call on who's going to come and save me. We knew a lady who we met in Forge last year. Her name was Hong Suni. This is how she received the gospel. Someone shared that with her. And years later, her child or nephew, niece, something had cancer. And she tried everything she could. And she remembered, someone said, if I call on Jesus. And that started a journey of her literally seeking and finding him. And so this is why these things are so important and why we have come back so changed, because what we have seen is God's heart for people. Like when we hear that scripture, for God so loved the world, I mean, not just our comfortable life here. When we recognize there are people who don't know his name at all, they've never heard. And we take that for granted sometimes. We take for granted that we can gather as a body and worship together. But these people can't do that. If you want to go to the next slide. So this was part of my outreach team. We went to a large group where we knew that there was a large population of these Dawe people. And we passed out Burmese gospel tracts. If you see in that corner picture, someone's holding one of the tracts there. Sometimes that was the only effective way that we could share the gospel. They did not want to stop and talk to you, understandably so. So we would quickly ask them if they would just read this, you know. So we walked around these groups here and see where these boys are. This was like a huge, large, open space. There was an enormous factory there where everybody worked. And when they came out from work, this is where people would gather. And we started to just share the gospel in this open air place. And this group of little boys just came and listened. And then I had somebody approach me and ask me, are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? And I said, yeah. And it turns out he was half Thai, half Burmese. His Thai family, his Burmese mother was saved. And his Thai father was Buddhist. And so he actually never knew the Lord, got to know the Lord. So we got to encourage him. And then in this picture in the lower right-hand corner over there, there was one family in this entire blocks and blocks and blocks of people that were Christians. And they invited us, our whole team, into their home. And I don't know if you can see their smiles. The woman in the gray who's standing in the back and the little girl beside her and the woman who's crouched down on the floor in the black shirt, this was a Christian, the only Christian family in that entire block. And they were so thrilled to welcome us into their home. And not only that, she left and bought us all these drinks. It was like her joy to like give something to us. And it almost felt like so undeserved, like you spent your money on us, you know. But that is how impactful it was for us to be people who came and encouraged the church. And then you can see up in the middle picture, that was us in the corner picture on the top. This was in the Christian home. And let me tell you, these homes are just one room, and there's mats on the floor. And they have a little burner for their food, maybe, where they cook, and that's it. That's all they have. Okay, you can go to the next slide. One of the nights we got to meet, this was one of the Burmese churches that we got to go and just minister to. Again, they put a microphone in my hand and said, you're going to speak, along with a few other people. You can go to the next slide. I just want to tell you real quick about this woman. So she was a woman in this church, and everybody had left. And she saw us praying over a little boy who suddenly got like a stomach bug while we were there. And so we prayed for him, and she asked through an interpreter if we could come and pray for her. So that's our friend Holly, and she and I prayed for this woman who ended up being a Dawe woman. So not the whole church is not Dawe people, but this lady was a Dawe. And those are the people groups that we've been targeting. She was a Dawe, and so we just laid hands on her knees, and we just started to pray in English, and she just started weeping. You could see that the Holy Spirit had just moved on her. And I don't even know what happened, but we asked her to stand up and move your knees. You know, she said it felt a little better, But then the Lord just kept, the Lord gave us a word of knowledge that was that she just needed to declare who he was and his goodness. So we shared that with her, and then we found out that she got saved, but she was harassed by her family because this is so costly. Your whole life will be uprooted when you give your life to Jesus. They understand the cost of following him. And she had been afraid. It affected her business. It affected all kinds of things. But she was so encouraged by the Lord in that moment that she said, tomorrow I'm coming and I'm standing up on the stage and I'm going to declare who Jesus is. And this is the stuff that we got to partner with. This is why we are so changed coming home, just to see the goodness of God in his heart for these people who have never even known his name. So, yeah.
I'm only going to close right now. But just as a pastor, as a husband, and as a father in this church, I'm just so, so proud of each of these people for the way they stepped out in the things of God, the things that they were so uncomfortable in, but God used them. And for me, there was no greater delight to just walk alongside these people for, you know, spending whole days with people that I love. I love all of you. And to watch people stepping into the things of God. And you see, God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in your weakness. And I saw them step into the power of God. And it was like something that could not happen unless they were in that place of weakness. So I just want to encourage you. I mean, Laura pretty much gave you the challenge that I would have given you. And I want to encourage you to step into the things of God, not because it's easy, not because it's easy, but because the Lord beckons you and he calls you into the more that he has. So just want to encourage you with that as we close. Have a wonderful week. Hope to see you next Sunday at Church in the Park. Please sign up for that. And if we will have House of Prayer next week with the community prayer group, okay? So that, Bob, I think, has already announced community prayer, so we'll put those things together. So we'll keep that. So next Sunday will be community prayer, but we'll join it with the House of Prayer for next week, all right? So nothing happening this afternoon. Next Sunday, House of Prayer and community prayer. Please sign up for potluck. All right, go get your kids. Thank you.